Romans chapter 12, from verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in our proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Are you doing what God made you to do? Are you walking in your gifting? Another question may be a bit more uncomfortable question is, are you a servant or are you a pew warmer, a chair warmer? Are you really living and doing what God has called you specifically to do as a Christian? You know, ministry means service, and unfortunately there are many fame seekers, but very few true servants who are into serving in the practical areas that is necessary, you know, in the Christian life. Many people desire to be in ministry. Everyone wants to be in ministry, but they aren't interested to help out in all these things that are practical and the necessary things as servants in the church. Jesus called us to servants. You see, we are the body of Christ, so we all need to do our part, and sometimes we do, obviously, more than our part. That's just the way it goes. And so, you know, ministry is not just the pastor's job. We've said that many times before. I'm not the only one who's in ministry here. You are all part of the body of Christ. I've gotten a gift, and I'm doing what God has called me to do. But so God has given each one of you at least a gift, and he desires you to do what he called you to do. And if the whole body gets together and starts doing what it's supposed to do, then it's a beautiful love of God displayed. Everything is working like it should, and every need is met, and everything is happening like it's supposed to be happening. You know, obviously in the first couple of years as we started this church, as we planted this church, I did pretty much just about everything, me and Redry. There was only us, and we just did just about everything. And now as time has been going on, we've been passing out these things, you know, to the guys who we feel that the Lord has lifted up, raised up in these areas. And that's a great blessing to have you guys for that. But God is not looking for performance. You know, he's always looking for hearts that are loyal to him. As we've been speaking about Romans 8, life in the Spirit. Remember, that's really what we are looking at. We want to live the life in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God, not in our own energy of our flesh. So that's why we never ask you to serve, because we put pressure on you. We never want you to serve in the energy of your flesh, but we do desire you to truly serve by the power that the Holy Spirit supplies in your life. And so, because we say, and I think definitely mean, that we don't pressure you to serve in the church, I think many times people just think, well, so I don't have to serve, because, you know, no one has asked me to do anything specifically. You see, the way that we do things here is we always pray and ask the Lord to lead us into what he wants to do. So obviously, as God is raising up people in certain areas, we like pray about, we release them in that area, and God is, you know, just using these people amazingly. So it's a great thing. And so remember that it's not about, you know, your performance, and God wants you to serve, because you never outgrow service. Service is just part of the Christian life. It's something that you'll do until we meet the Lord. God made us that way because we learn so much in serving one another. And so it's not something, oftentimes people think, well, service is just something I do until we can get a bigger church and we can get people, we employ people to do certain things. No, no, we are the body. We are made to do these things that God has gifted us and equipped us to do. And so for that reason, we never outgrow it. And so last time we spoke, if you remember, about presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, the first two verses of Romans 12. And as that, by the way, God says that is your reasonable service. Or Paul says that's your reasonable service. Reasonably for us, after everything that Jesus did for us, to say, Lord, here I am, use me. However you see fit, I want to serve you in the way, in the capacity that you want me to serve, Lord. And so, laying down our own lives, our stubbornness, our strong will to do things our own way, and calling him Lord and Master, saying, Lord, I want to serve you. What do you have? And Father, just laying down my life before you, you know, totally as a living sacrifice, casting down our lives. Serving God starts with that personal dedication that we saw last week in verses 1 and 2. That's where the whole service starts. It's first of all saying, Lord, here I am. Consecrate. You serve. You save me. I'm yours. What do you want to do with me? I'm your slave. I belong to you. And so, but once you've dedicated yourself to God now, You have to recognize your place in the body of Christ. And I think it's important for us to recognize. And once you recognize your place in the body, then start serving there where you are made to serve. That's God's desire for all of us. And so Paul now starts speaking about our relationships with one another in serving one another in the church. It's really what it's about. He turns it in a bit and he wants us to focus on the relationships that has to do with service. Service is not me doing my thing in the little corner, me and Jesus. It's I'm part of this body and I want to serve the body in the way that Jesus wants me to serve. So here I am, Lord. I surrender everything to you. Use me. I think about when Samuel was lying in his bed when he was a young boy. The Lord called him. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And he didn't know what was happening, so he ran to the priest. And you know what Eli said to him? He said to him, Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so Samuel went and he did that. That's the kind of heart that we should have. Like, Lord, here I am, your servant. Speak to me. I want to hear what you will have to say to me. But God doesn't just call us to serve Him. God goes, obviously, the extra mile always. He gives us the ability to serve Him. He doesn't just say, well, come, I want you to serve me. And He doesn't give us anything. God gives us what is necessary for the things that He calls us to serve in. And so today we want to look at, if you're a note taker, write down serving in righteousness. That's really what we look at. Being servants. Servants in righteousness. Serving in righteousness. A look at serving God with the spiritual gifts that He has given us. And these gifts that is listed here for us this morning in Romans chapter 12 is what we would call like very foundational gifts. By God the Father given to us for that life purpose, that basic life purpose that He has for us. Given to us for that specific purpose. And so some people look at the gifts in the scripture because we get them in a number of places. You get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You also get some gifts listed in Ephesians chapter 4. And so some people view this as the gifts of the Father in Romans chapter 12, you know, for your basic life purpose, that basic gifting for who you are meant to be as a Christian. Then Ephesians chapter 4 is the gifts of God the Son. That's the ministries or the gifted offices in the church. And then number three is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or more likely the activities, because the word spiritual gifts is not used in the original. It is just called spirituals in the Greek. And so just that activities of the Holy Spirit working in the church. And so whether you want to break it up like this or not, I do believe today he's speaking about that basic, you know, calling that you have as a Christian, your basic motivational gifts, that inherent inclination in you to be what God made you to be. There's certain things that you are moved towards automatically. And sometimes it happens so naturally that you don't realize it's actually supernaturally God giving you for that. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So these gifts are all from God who prepared it beforehand because He wants us to do certain things. He made us. It's like if you want to do anything, you're gonna line it up like you want. And God has the same idea in mind. He says, here's my body. I want my body to work in a certain way. And I'm going to place all these different giftings in the church. And I'm going to have it all work together in one beautiful unity. So if you are taking note, first of all, we want to look at called for service. Starting there in verse 3, He says, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So Paul once again starts with the grace of God, right? Everything we have, everything we are is by the grace of God. I hope you know that this morning. And then he says to everyone. Now that's interesting because everyone includes you this morning. Everyone who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, everyone who is part of the church, who are truly brought in, grafted in, as we looked a couple of weeks ago. Everyone who's part of the body, that is you. He's speaking to you this morning. So this message is for you. So don't tap the guy next to you this morning or your wife sitting next to you. This is for every single one of you this morning. Paul is writing this and it's for us. And what does Paul say to all of us? Look there again at verse 3. He says, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I think that's a very important thing that he calls us. Before he starts now getting into spiritual gifts and all the things that's so interesting and exciting in the body of Christ, he says something very important right from the start. He gives us a warning. And this warning is one of our worst enemies. It is pride. To think of myself highly. Right? That is the sin that God, Satan, kicked out of heaven. That is one of the worst, especially spiritual pride. And so that is something that Paul warns us right in the beginning when he starts speaking about giftings, all the different giftings. He says, make sure that you don't think, even start thinking that you are something, because everything you have has been given to you by God. Now, some of you may hear this morning, and you may even nod your head, but in your heart you say, well, you know, I know, I've worked hard to be where I am this morning. You know, I know it's taken me a lot of sweat and effort to get to this place where I am, and it's, you know, what is there that you have that God hasn't given to you? You know, everything that you achieved by your ability that God supplied. Everything that we have is from Him. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? You see, no Christian has the right to boast about anything. Look at me. Look at what I can do, because everything we have has been given to us by God from heaven. And because we like attention, unfortunately, we are people. You see, we like people's attention. We like admiration of other people. We like to be lifted up in other people's eyes. So for that reason, you know, we start looking at ourselves as if the gifting has anything to do with me. And I think that is something very important we have to take note of, because I think largely across the evangelical world, this is oftentimes misunderstood. People look at someone who's gifted by the Holy Spirit in something specifically, and they're like, oh man, he must be an amazing Christian. He must be so close to the Lord. And they equate spiritual maturity to gifting. No, no, it doesn't work like that. God decides, just because he wants to, I'm going to give you that, I'm going to give you that. It's no merit. It's not because you have proved yourself as a Christian, now you get this special thing, now you can do that. No, God, in his almighty wisdom, decides to gift us in certain ways. And so many people have used the gifts of God for their own personal gain and their own personal, you know, just lifting themselves up in the people's eyes. A pastor that passed away, Chuck Smith, he says, you know, that it's prostituting the gifts of God if you do that. Using what Christ gave you to draw attention to yourself. That has never been his desire for the church at all. And I think it's terrible to be lifted up, to be proud about something that God chooses to do through us by his Holy Spirit. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see, the moment you start getting proud in your gifting, at that moment, your gifting starts losing its efficiency. It starts diminishing your effectiveness in the kingdom. The gift will still go on. The gifts of God are irrevocable. God's not going to pull it back. But you're going to run in the energy of your flesh, and it's not going to be effectiveness in the kingdom of God. If you want to be effective, you need to be moved by the Spirit in humility. That's so important for us. And so realize that spiritual giftedness does not equal spiritual maturity. We grow as we walk with the Lord, as we learn to trust in Him. Spiritual maturity is something totally different, but God gives us that gift just because He wants to. And so when you see someone with a gift of healing or miracles or whatever kind of gift that people look up to, even the gift of tongues, it's not because that is a special believer, someone extraordinary. It's just because God decided to give him that. He didn't do anything to get it, to earn it. And I think it's something important for us to understand, because people look up to people that the gifts are clearly displayed sometimes. Like evangelists, you know. People are like, man, I want to be like that guy, you know, like Billy Graham or like, you know, Greg Laurie or whoever. And they don't realize he's just the same as us. God has given him that gift. That's why he's able to do what God has called him to do. And he's walking in it in faithfulness. Think about what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Just think how serious that is. Looking at the people with gifts, there's going to be people one day, in the day of judgment, Jesus is going to come back and they're going to say, Lord, well, you know, why are you casting us away? I mean, I cast out demons in your name. I prophesied in your name. I did wonders in your name. And God's just going to say, well, you were never part of my flock. You were never one of my sheep. You did this in your own energy of your flesh, these things that happened. And so just be careful of that, because spiritual giftedness is not equals to spiritual maturity. Gifts are not earned by merit. And so just because you have a special gift does not mean that you are now an extraordinary Christian. We are all the same. You see, if your motivation is wrong and you do it for your glory, then it means nothing. And that's why Paul says, do not be high-minded. Don't think of yourself more highly. What does he say? Continue in that verse. He says, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So don't think, don't be high-minded. Think soberly. That's exactly how we should think. And so what is sober thinking? You know what sober thinking is? I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. That is sober thinking. I'm nothing in myself. Everything I have is from God. Every gifting, everything that I can do is from God alone. That is sober thinking. That is the way that Paul desires us to think. And so if God's given you a gift, but you don't think because you're great because he gifted you. Think about, you know, the opposite of being sober. Think of someone who's not sober. You know, we all have pictures in our mind, unfortunately, from the days before Christ, our BC days. All your buddies, the people who are not sober, right? Just think about them. They think they can do many things under the influence, right? They think, well, I can do that. They've got this, they think they are able to do all these things, but they cannot. It's not realistic. They think they can do more than they can because they are under the influence. That's the whole point. I know that because I used to be the guy who drove all my drunk buddies around in the night. You know, I was the one who was sober and I was always take them all home. So I know all about that. I hate that. These guys think they could do, they think they can drive. They cannot drive because they're under the influence, you understand? And so that's exactly the same that Paul says. Those who overrate themselves and they try to perform a ministry that they're not gifted to do, they can actually damage the church. Walk in your gifting is basically part of the message today. Paul is saying, don't be under the influence of the world. Remember, we are not to be conformed to the world. We are to be transformed by renewing of our minds into the image of Christ. And so we want to be what God made us be, to think soberly, see yourself as God sees you. And I think that's oftentimes difficult. People have a problem. They either see themselves as worthless. They look at themselves like, I'm nothing. Or they look at themselves as, sure, look at me. I'm great. And both of those are wrong. We need to see ourselves soberly as God sees us. We are children of God, so we're not worthless. God has got a plan for each one of us. But don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Matthew 20, 26 to 28. Jesus says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So don't try to be more important than your brothers and sisters at church, because that's not what God desires for us. You know, it's about having the right heart. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 and 25 says, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. You see, God never intended some parts of the body to be exalted, other parts to be neglected. God gave the gifts and he distributed through the body so that the whole body can be exactly what he wants for it. And as we are being what God made us for, then God gets the glory and he is magnified. You know, Warren Wiersbe, he said, spiritual gifts are tools to build with, not toys to play with or weapons to fight with. Something to remember, because don't look at your brothers and sisters and try to compare yourself to them. That's worthless, because they did not deserve their gifts just like you didn't deserve your gifts. So just focus on what God gave you to do and do that thing, you see. And so they are really, it's like my son, Ben, when he was running athletics, beginning of the year and last year too, you know, when he started running now, in beginning of grade one. You know, I was just telling him, look at the goal, you know, because as he's running, he's looking at the people around him. And as he does that, you know, he totally doesn't get there. You know, he loses his focus and his attention. So I went and I stood by the line at the end of the finish line. I said, look at me and just run to me. And he ran excellent, right? He did really great. And that's the same in a Christian life. Don't start looking around your brothers and sisters, oh, they've got that gift, or oh, they've got that, or look at that one, shame, he's only got that kind of thing. And then there's a schism in the body, and the body doesn't work like it's supposed. Just focus on the Lord, walk towards Jesus. And so both two ways in which we can be proud of our gifts. And in one sense, you can basically neglect your gift for whatever reason. Being ashamed of your gift or whatever. Maybe God's given you something and you're just like, well, I don't know how to use this, or I don't know what it is and it's not worth that much. And you just feel like, and you're just neglecting your gift. The other way to be proud about your gift is to say, well, look at me, man. I've got this gift. I'm an evangelist, or I'm a whatever, you know, and I can do these things. And you're so caught up in yourself because of what God has gifted you. Both of these ways refuse to acknowledge God's grace and don't give him the glory. And in both ways, we are bad stewards. Jesus said, be good stewards of everything that I've given to you, including the gifts. God wants us to steward things in the right way. And so don't be proud. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Many members, one body. So the body consists obviously of eyes and ears and mouth and feet and toes and all those things. Many different parts in one body. And so I think the thing for us this morning is to find out, what part am I? At my core, at my base, at my foundation, what am I made to be? What did God put in me? What does He desire me to do in the church? About finding your purpose in your relationship to the other Christians, expressing Christ as a whole body, because that's the whole thing. If we all do what we have been given, then the body functions as it should. But if some people just say, well, I'm not going to use my gifts, other people are exalting in their gifts, then the body is dilapidated, doesn't work, and Christ doesn't get the glory. He says, all do not have the same function. You see, eyes were made like to function like eyes. And if you use your eyes for seeing, they work really well. If you want to take your eyeball and try walking on it, it's not going to go that well, right? The same with the ear. The eye was not made to smell. If you have to smell through your eyes, you're going to have a really difficult time. So if the ear says, well, I don't want to be an ear, I want to be an eye. You know, just think, it's not going to work. It was made for that, for a certain reason. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17 to 19 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You see, that's, I think the key word in that verse is, as He pleased. God in His almighty wisdom, in His omniscience, He knows what is best. He knows exactly what He gave who, so we can work together. He doesn't want us to want someone else's gifts. He wants us to walk in our giftings. And so not all the members were created or intended to function in the same way. Part of the Christian life is unity, but not uniformity. God really wants us to be like one body moving in beautiful togetherness. But God doesn't want every one of us to look exactly the same. He doesn't want us to be uniform in that sense. He made us all different, but we all function together in unity. That's His desire. So God has called some people to be pastors, some people to be teachers, you know, some to be intercessors, some evangelists, and not everyone has the same. Not everyone is gifted as a street evangelist like Ray Comfort, right? I mean, that guy is amazing, but not everyone has got that gifting. And the amazing thing to me is that if you have a gifting, then you look at other people through sort of a bias, and you're like, you know, if you want to serve Christ, you should do it like me, because I know that's how I function with Christ, and you look at other people and you want them to be like you, or you desire to be like other people that you see that gift operating in. But God didn't make us like that. I tell you, there is so much frustration in the Christian life if you want to try and walk outside of your gifting. I tell you, I've tried that. One stage, I really desired to have an evangelistic gifting, you know, just share the word and people get saved. And it's like, I still share the word. I still give an invitation to follow Christ. But if nothing happens, that's God hasn't given me that gift. And so I'm not going to say, well, you know, I'm going to waste all my effort trying to be that what God hasn't made me to do. For me to be effective, I must just do what He made me to do. And so if God didn't make you a finger, you're not equipped as a finger, no matter how much you want to be that. And I want to say this sincerely to tell some of you, because some of you, like I said, on the other side of the spectrum, you're like, well, you need a bit of motivation because you're not really using your giftings. Other ones are like, I want to be a teacher. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a that. And if you're not gifted as that, you're going to hurt the body. You must walk in your gifting. Just like if everyone in a rugby team, you know, desires to be like the center or the fly half or the flank or whatever. Everyone wants that position. Then what then? You'll have a dilapidated team that can't face the enemy. If everyone plays his part in a team, the team works beautifully. It's the same in the body of Christ. Every Christian needs to know their spiritual gifting in order to serve effectively, and we need to evaluate ourselves. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to ask you, do you know this morning what your gifting is? Also, I want to ask you, together with that, like Paul says, are you lifted up? Or are you just humble in what Christ has given you to do? Look what he says in verse 5. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So being many, we're still one body. We're all linked together in this one body called the church. God wants the church to bring Him glory. And the church is not what it's supposed to be. I believe every local fellowship has the necessary giftings in it to work the way God intends it to work. I believe that God puts the people in a certain place together with the giftings that's necessary to run the body. The thing is, many people don't step up. They don't do the things they call to, and other people neglect the gifts. And then some people has to do a lot of things. And so, being many members, one body, but he says individually members of one another. You see, we work together for the benefit of all. If everyone works together in that unity, it's for the benefit of the body. And I think that's the other thing I want you to understand this morning. You were not given your gifting for yourself. You're not given your gifting to take it, like I say, in a corner, and me and Jesus, this is my gifting. You were given that gift to minister to the rest of the body so we can work together, so we can lift each other up. So everyone, so if someone walks in and they're discouraged, you know, someone can come with the gift of encouragement and say, well, you know, let me just pray. You can do it. Let me just pray for you. And so if everyone does their part, just think of how healthy the body would be. And that's exactly the point that Paul is trying to make. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The way that the Spirit works through us is given for all of us, that we may be edified as a body, not so that I may build myself up and I may become this thing. That sort of follows the whole reasoning that Paul has been speaking so far in Romans. It's not about me working myself up to be the strong Christian so I can do it. It's me being available to the Lord and being open before the Lord and saying, Lord, I need you to work through me. And as God then comes with His power, He can do amazing things. And so we need each other. We need to recognize our part in the body, and then we need to start doing our part in the body. It's not good enough if you just know, well, I'm called to be a hand, you know, I'm called to be a teacher, I'm called to do that, and you just sit there, you don't do anything, then you're not helping the way you're supposed to. So one body, beautifully coordinated by the Holy Spirit, demonstrating Christ to the world. Not only called for service, but secondly, if you're taking note, gifted for service. He gets into that in verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So all these gifts differing, spiritual gifts given to each one, like I said, not on basis of merit, but because God knows what He wants to do. God chose to do it. And the word gifts in the Greek it comes from the word charisma. And we know the word charis is grace. So it really refers to that gifting of grace. All our gifts that we have, whether you have one gift or whether you have many gifts, it has been given to God from God by grace. God is the one who decides who gets what. It's not like you could pick. It's just like you can't pick your parents. It's the same. You can't pick your gifts, right? God knows what He wants to do. And so if you're unhappy with your gift, that may be that you're like, Lord, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do what that guy does. You know, then you need to start praying that God will change your heart, because God knows the best what He's given you. 1 Corinthians 12:11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And I think once again, that's the key word. He distributes to everyone as He wills. It's all about Him. Remember, we are living sacrifices. We lay down our lives. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Master. And He says, well, I want to use you to do that. Imagine if God can just really work in the church like He desires to. If He could just speak to your heart and say, well, you go minister to that person. You do that. You do this. And the body is just working. The body will just be in such a healthy, great condition. That's what God desires. Each believer is a living part of Christ's body, and each one has some spiritual function to perform. And so now He gives us a list as we go through this. We see He gives us a list. This is not a complete, extensive list of every spiritual gifting that is available. Like I said in the beginning, you know, there's also gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and that's not supposed to be an exhaustive list here. It's not really in this passage trying to teach about spiritual gifts and their operations. So for that reason, we won't be focusing on that this morning, because in this, He's trying to tell us how to work together in the body by using our gifts. He's not trying to tell us exactly what these gifts are about. And so He's speaking about our relationships with each other in the body, serving one another. Like I just said, as living sacrifices in the church, we don't fight. We don't try to be better than us. We don't want to conform to the world, do things like the world does. We want to do things like Christ wants us to do it. And so in a church, how does it work? Jesus is the head, right? He's the only master. None of us. The pastor is not the head. The pastor is not in charge of the church. Jesus is in charge of the church. He is the head. He is the Lord. Understand? And we are all just members in the body. And so it's well to do to remember that. Everyone has got a distinct gift, but everyone is of equal importance. So no matter if you are a small toe or if you are a mouth, you are there for a reason in the body of Christ. And now he starts listing these. Look there in verse 6. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy, in this sense, is declaring truth. Prophecy, since the time of the apostles, we know that they lay down the scripture once for all, as Jude 3 tells us, as Ephesians 2:20 tells us. No one can now bring a revelation, a prophecy that supersedes the word of God. So no one can add to the word of God. No one can write new pages, not even the Pope, you know, that claims that he can do that kind of thing. No one can do that. No one has the authority and the power in that sense of prophecy. Also, prophecy speaking specifically here is not really the idea of foretelling the future, but more like forthtelling the word of God, speaking the word of God. And so declaring the truth of God's word. And then he says, if you do that, if you've been given the gift of prophecy, if that's your life gift, then do it in proportion to your faith. Now that can also mean a number of things as we look at the original writing. It can mean, on the one hand, it can mean according to the doctrines of the Christian faith, in proportion to our faith, meaning that it has to line up, and that is definitely true, whether it's exactly what he intended or not, that's exactly true. If you feel like you've got a prophecy from the Lord, and you speak that prophecy, and it contradicts the word of God, then you are wrong. You understand that? God is not schizophrenic. He will not say something that contradicts his word that is given to us, laid down once for all. And so I think it's important for us to understand that, because God has said it in his word that will always stay like that. So if we prophesy, it must line up with what the word of God teaches. That also warns us not to be just like flippantly saying, like, thus says the Lord. You get people like that. They speak to you and everything like, oh yeah, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that about you. And the Lord spoke to me this morning. And we should be very careful in saying that. Only say, thus says the Lord, if the Lord has really moved in your heart and he's given you the faith in proportion to that to speak out something. Because people get hurt in the body of Christ. If you just go along and that's what you feel, you just say, well, the Lord told me. If the Lord didn't tell you, then don't say it like that. Verse 7, he says the second one there. He says, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. So ministry is really depicting truth. It's a very broad term. Ministry just means service. That's where we get the word deaconing from. It's basically, when he says ministry, it means deaconing. It means doing the work of the ministry. All the practical stuff that is out there. In all the practical ways. It's such an important ministry in the body of Christ. And I think it's neglected largely because people don't step up. You know, there's basic stuff that needs to be done at church. You need to move the chairs. You need to sweep the floor. You need to do all these things. And certain people are gifted for that. And so if you are gifted for ministry, for service, don't feel like, well, you know, why am I not an evangelist? Do what God has given you to the best of your ability, because you were made for that. You know, it's like me. If I try to do admin, right, I start sweating and my eyes start crossing over. And I just, after a while, it's like, I was not made to do this. Do you understand? And so that's exactly the same. If you who are called to do something, just step out. If you are called to do ministry, to serve the church in a general way, then do that, because that's what God made you to do. Also, number 3, he goes on there in verse 7, and he says, he who teaches in teaching. Now, teaching is defining truth. That's a gifting specifically to define the truth of God, able to explain the word of God and to apply to the hearts of the hearers. That's what we are basically doing here this morning. It has the meaning of instruction. You know, instructing people from God's word. That's what the gift of teaching is about. Then in verse 8, he says, he who exhorts in exhortation. So the gift of exhortation is what we can call developing truth. You know, stirring up the saints in the body of Christ to turn away from all the evil out there and to seek holiness. You know, to walk. There are people, just encouraging people. You know, you just talk to this guy for 5 seconds and you're like, man, I feel so encouraged. It's because God has given them that gift. And some of you are like that. You need to use it. You know, oftentimes people come to church on a Sunday morning and they're all like droopy. That's where the encouragers must come along and say, well, let me just tell you, you can, you know, what's up? Can I pray for you? And just, there are some people who are gifted in that way, just to encourage the rest of the body, just to make us look up to Jesus again. And sometimes, you know, some of these things even come through in a teaching, like prophecy and exhortation. Here and there, God will give something like that, and He will just do a work in your heart. The other one, the other gifting there, He says in verse 8, starts changing it a little, and He says, "He who gives with liberality." He doesn't say he who gives in giving. So things change a bit. He's a bit more specific when He speaks about giving. He says, "He who gives in liberality." Now, giving, you can say, is furthering truth. That is the guy who actually uses his resources, or the woman, whether it is financial or other resources, to promote the work of God, to further the work of God in the kingdom, you know, and to meet the needs, to see the needs in the body, and to meet them so that the church can continue to do the things that is called to continue. Someone who's just a channel through whom God can work and bless, someone to whom God gives a lot of resources so they can distribute to the rest of the body. You know, and I've seen it happen. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when someone has gotten, you're like, "What's my spiritual gift?" My spiritual gift is giving. You know, if your spiritual gift is giving and you're not giving, then the whole body is suffering. You understand? God gives you a lot of things sometimes, and there are people like that that I know. And it's just a wonderful thing to see how God works through them. They just can't give out quick enough, but God keeps supplying them because He chose them to be that vessel to bring into the work of God. But He says, if you are giving, then give with liberality. Also, you can translate that simplicity. Giving should always be simplistic. Should never be focused on, "Look at me, I'm giving this big check to the church here and all the attention." No, giving should just be straightforward. God says, not your one hand knows what your other hand is doing. You know, if you've got the gift of giving, then use it, because the body needs it. You understand? And so, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that word for cheerful is the word hilarious. God loves someone who can just give hilariously, not thinking about, "Oh, I'm just putting this aside." It's just like, I can't wait to give to God's causes, and there are people, and that is their spiritual gift. Maybe that's your only spiritual gift. Serve God in that. You understand? And so if you have the gift of giving, go for it, but keep it simple. Verse 8, number 6, He says, "He who leads with diligence." Speaking about a leader, ruling, the gift of ruling, that's administering truth. The guy who's connected with the under-shepherds, the deacons, the elders, everyone in the church, and he's got the vision and he moves things in the church according to what God gives him. So if you've gifted as leading, then lead with diligence. Leading with diligence and zeal, do it with all your might, because you're doing it for God and for His church. And God calls you to stand up in that. And I want to tell you, the reason why He says diligence is because it's really easy for leaders to get discouraged. Look all through the Bible. Look how the enemy comes and he attacks, and leaders always get discouraged. You know, He says lead with diligence. That's why the guys with the gift of exhortation must come along, say, "Leader, you know, you can do it. God is with you." You know, and it's amazing how often people will give words of encouragement that can just lift up someone like this. Leader in the church. Then number 7, the last one there in verse 8, He says, "And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, mercy is radiating truth. That's a special gift. I believe it's one of the important gifts in the body. As according to me, I think it's something that is lacking, the gift of mercy. Because, you know, I know my giftings. And if you look at all of them, you know, mercy is sort of at the bottom side for me, unfortunately. I love you guys. I really love you guys. I just don't have that gift of mercy. You know, I'm not the guy who wants to go into the prisons and wants to go and, you know, there's people who's got that gifting. I've got other giftings that God has given me. But that's a special gift. Mercy. If you think about the word mercy, mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. And so for that reason, it has to be a supernatural gift. It's something that God uses in the body. Many of us need mercy. We need that person who has the gift of mercy to come alongside and bring mercy and give mercy. He says, "And if you have the gift of mercy, then do it with cheerfulness." I think that's important, because this is a gift that needs cheerfulness. It's the same word, hilariousness. You need to be hilariously cheerful when you show mercy to people, because it's already so hard to show, to give them something they don't deserve. You understand? And there are people with that special gift, and I think it's a wonderful, beautiful gift in the body that can just lift up everyone. People that's got, you know, they're always thinking about everyone. They always know everyone's needs, and they just like, they want to minister to the people. God has gifted you like that. And so it can be hard enough to show mercy, but you need to do it with cheerfulness. And so if you've got the gift of mercy, just do it with a smile. I think looking at this sort of short list he gives us here, as John Corson has said so many times, God's not looking for spiritual machine gunners who just shoots bullets everywhere. He desires us to be more like snipers. Every one of us doing the thing that God has gifted us to do, because then the body functions well. So you may say, sit here this morning and say, well, I just don't know. You've mentioned these seven sort of foundational gifts kind of thing, and now I don't know what my gifting is, and so how must I find out? What must I do? You know, it's a good question. Now, I also want to use the illustration. Say my daughter, Rebecca, my five-year-old daughter, decides she wants to bring me a cup of water because she's just a nice girl and she sees her father's thirsty. And she walks in the back of the church there with a glass of water and she falls down, right? And the glass breaks and it shatters and she spilled everything all over the floor. What will be your first reaction towards that? The way that you will initially react towards that may say a lot about your spiritual gifting. The way that you're going to treat the situation that just happened may show a lot about what is inherently in you. And I want to tell you, so if your gift is prophecy, you know, you'll say, Rebecca, you need to be careful how you walk. You know, walk straight, walk careful, watch out. You know, there's a lot of distractions along the way. If you've got the gift of ministry, then you're like, okay, where's the mop and the broom? I'll clean up the mess immediately. You know, it's like, let me just get that scoop and I'll sort out the water in no time. That is your gifting in the body, you know. If your gift is teaching, then you'll say, Rebecca, you have to carry the glass with both hands. Watch out for the condensation, you know. And you explain to her the whole thing about the glass of water that she's carrying, because that's really, you want to educate her on that. If your gift is giving, you like take out your wallet and say, well, how much does a glass cost? Let me just sort that out, you know. And you laugh, but that's really how it works. If someone has to do that part too. Then if your gift is ruling, you're like, well, who put the stairs there? It's really bad design work. You know, there should be a ramp there. You know, it should be just be different. It shouldn't be working that way. Then, very importantly, if your gift is the gift of mercy, you say, oh, Rebecca, poor girl, come here. Let me give you a hug. I know how it feels to fall down. I know how it feels to spill things. I also spill things, you know, and sort of just give her a hug, focusing totally on her. And then lastly, if your gift is exhortation, then you say, well, come on, Rebecca, you can do it. I'll go with you and I can know you can do this. You can do this right the next time, you know, and just exhorting her, encouraging her to do this. And so I hope that helps you a little bit in where you are as in your gifting, because, you know, God has given each one of us. And the thing that happens in the body, unfortunately, because the enemy takes his shots, something like that would happen. And you would look and you're like, where's the people? Why aren't someone immediately there with the girl? You know, why is he getting the mop? You know, what's he doing with the mop? The poor girl, you know, or you know, why is this guy looking at explain to her what she did wrong kind of thing. And we look at each other as if other people should have our gifting. You see, we always look from our side, our bias. I see the world the way God made me. If I'm an evangelist, I want everyone to be evangelist. That's the way you must relate to God. If I'm a teacher, I want everyone to think like a teacher. You see, and so if you've got the gift of mercy or you've got the gift of giving, then you want everyone else. Why isn't no one worried? You know, if that's your heart, then get up and go to the girl, because God has given you the gift, you understand? Do what God has made you. If you just look to Jesus and do what he calls you to do, don't look at your brothers and sisters, then everyone else will do what they're supposed to do. And the thing that you have to understand in this is just as spiritual to clean up the floor as it is to minister to the girl and to sort out the stairs or whatever. All these things are important. But because you have a certain gifting, you look at all the other people and like, you guys just don't get it. This is the way it works. But you see, that's the way that God wants you to work. And if we all do our part, you know, the whole mess is cleaned up. She's ministered to. She feels great. She can do it again. You know, the stairs are clear. Everything is happening. You understand? That's how God made the body to function. So don't look around your brothers and sisters and start judging them for the giftings that God has given them. You focus on what God gave you, and you do that with all diligence, with all your might. And so if you don't know your gifting, then I would suggest come up afterwards for prayer, and we'll pray for you. Because I know God desires every one of you to know exactly what part you have to play in the body. Also, the main idea in all of this is that we have to serve one another. Oftentimes we just come into church and we're like, how can everyone serve me? This is my need and I desire all these things. Now, as a part of the body of Christ, you are placed there so that you can serve the rest of us. So let us all do that and the body will be working as it's supposed to. It's not wrong walking in your gifting. If it's your gifting, you know, to clean up the floor, then clean up the floor. Just do what God has given you to do. I want to close with this verse in 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. You're speaking to Timothy, Paul. And he says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. And I want to say this to every one of you. If we all do what God has given us to do, this is a great body, but it will be much greater. It will work effectively in the kingdom of God. And so be what God made you to be the best you can be by His grace and for His glory.